you know, I wanted Mr. Henderson just to carry on. Some exciting stuff there. Great warnings as well, as we know. But we understand the plan. We can look over top of all the troubles and all the struggles and see beyond it to what's going to come and how it's going to be. During the holy days, I often think about the determination and the faith that Mr. Armstrong demonstrated during his life. Continually, never stopped, day after day, year after year. You know, starting off at keeping the feast with his wife for so many years. You know, could you have done that on your own? I doubt that we could have. I doubt it. Trial after trial, difficulty after difficulty, people that wanted to have him removed, aggravation from the front row, from the echelon, if you will, within the organization that should have supported him, should have lifted his hands up, but they didn't do it. And he persevered through it all. You know, I was looking up the definition of perseverance. Perseverance means to continue a course of action even in the face of difficulties. Right? You just keep on going regardless, or with little or no prospect of success. How do people do that? Now, we're not going to succeed, so I might as well give up. No, Mr. Armstrong, he never gave up. He knew ultimately God would bless the work. I was thinking of him at the station, going to be going live, you know, for a program back in the 30s. He needs $2 to go on for half an hour. He's got $1.25. And so let's just have faith. God will provide. He's in the station waiting. A few minutes before, someone shows up at the door, hands the money. Wow. Now that's an example of incredible faith. Just amazing. What an example he set for us. The whole idea with perseverance, in other words, it's keeping on standing tall, standing one's ground, no compromise, and holding fast and stay on course. That's our job. Matthew 23. That's what we must do in view of the calamities to overtake this world. What's going to take place? Are we going to be frightened and want to hide in a hole somewhere, crawl into a cave? Not at all. Matthew 23, verse 13. Matthew 24, actually, verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. We have to endure. Makes it quite clear. We have to persevere. Even in the face of difficulties, even in the face of maybe there's no prospect for success. Yes, there is with God, with Christ holding our hands and taking us through it all. We might have to go right to the edge of the cliff. We don't know. That's okay. We're going to hang on and seek that help that we need and that we will receive. You know, with the feast, we rehearsed once again the great plan of God. As you know, we went through the scriptures and the prophecies and the tremendous good news about the future. It's worth persevering for, isn't it, brethren? It surely is. Luke chapter 18. It sure is worth persevering for and pursuing. Luke 18, this is the example of the persistent widow. I kind of like this story. When you read it slowly, go through it, you see the frustration here of the judge. Then he spoke to a parable to them, verse 1 of Luke 18, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, oh man, I got to do something about get her off my back. Though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she wears me out. Continue on, you know, chipping away at him. Can't take it anymore. I can't yell at her. I can't put her in jail. So I'll take care of it for her. how many people do you know or know of that have lost heart and given up? You heard me say a few times here this past week, I know of a few. Verse 7. And shall judge not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? That's us, brethren. We're God's elect. We cry out to him. He's going to take care of us. And he bears long with us through our lives, doesn't he? All the things that we go through, all the troubles that we have, all the mistakes that we make, he still stays faithful and true to us. And we can hang on. I find that incredibly encouraging. Regardless of me being me on occasion, God has patience, love, compassion. He'll chastise, he'll correct, but he'll lead us on. That's exciting. To me it is. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he finally find faith on the earth? Or will he really find faith? There's a mouthful. Will he really find faith on the earth? How much faith will he find in the churches of God? How much faith will he find with you and me? We need the faith of Jesus Christ if we're going to make it. The principle Christ was giving here was one of persevering. You know, in the tribute to Mr. Armstrong in the 1986 Good News, one of the comments said, the joy of his life, referring to Mr. Armstrong, was doing the will of God, and he carried right on doing it until the day he died. That's quite a tribute. Credible tribute. And oh, so true. What an example. What an inspiration. Luke 11. And verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, wake up, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Go away. Wait till the store opens. Do something else. I say to you, verse 8, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. You see, brethren, spiritual persistence is difficult for some people in the end time. We know that from around the churches of God. Because so many distractions and so many deceptions, Mr. Henderson referred to one, abound, leading us off track, getting sidetracked, getting caught up in the cares of the world, being choked by Satan. It has to be strong, brethren, our spiritual persistence, strong, with no feelings of giving up and saying, I'm tired of the struggle, I'll catch y'all later, as some have done. Sure, listen, we're human. We get tired sometimes. We get tired sometimes of the trials and the struggles that we have in our lives. I know that. We have our own. But we don't give up. We persevere forward. We must have an attitude of never giving in. Never. What I want to cover with us here for a few minutes this afternoon is 7 basic principles for persevering in the days to come. You may think of dozens more or better ones. I'm just going to give you 7. Winter is coming. Difficulties are coming. Trials are coming. we're going to have to persevere. We're going to have to really hang on tight and not lose hope. And think deeply about what we learned here at this festival. The job that we have ahead of us. Once we get there, it's going to be a struggle to get there. But we'll make it. We'll make it. We'll hang on. We'll never give in. First one I have is keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye fixed on the goal. As one person told me years ago, he said, keep your eyes on the prize. I thought, good way to put it. Keep your eyes on the prize. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Yes, I made mistakes last week, last year, last month, whatever it might be, maybe yesterday. I don't worry about it. I'll repent. I can't let it drag me down. I can't say because of that I'm going to give in. Because I've made a mess here, I'm going to give up. Can't do that. Well, some have done that. Verse 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Pressing toward the goal is not giving in. That's keeping the goal perfectly fixed in place. And that's where I'm heading. No matter what happens, no matter how many earthquakes, how many tsunamis, how many wars. Paul said, reach forward, press ahead. And brethren, we have a very high calling. I mentioned during the feast, there's no higher calling, there's no greater job ahead than what God has planned for us. And so only a few really understand that. That's why we have such an incredible responsibility. It demands effort because the goal is priceless. You can't put a price on it. God has given us prophecies. We have the spiritual vision to clearly see the goal, don't we? We see it. A little hazy sometimes. Maybe not 100% sure on a bad day, but it's there. You got to keep your eye on it. And after keeping the feast of God, you know, for so many days here, we should have a very clear focus. There is no misunderstanding about our job. What am I here keeping this feast for? No, you know why you were here. So do I. And it was a wonderful occasion to rehearse once again and go through the scriptures and the prophecies and learn. And as I said at the opening night, relearn. Maybe relearn. Well, I let kind of stumble over the past year. That's why God has the persistent factor built in to his plan. We rehearse it, then we rehearse it again, then we do it again, and we do it again. Point number two, run the race with constant patience and effort. Run the race with constant effort and patience. We need all of those things, don't we? Again, Mr. Armstrong comes to mind for me right off the top, first individual. Another person comes to my mind is a young man that I've mentioned him before over the years. His name is Terry Fox. He wanted to race across Canada to raise money for cancer. He had one leg, one gone, one taken off because of cancer. And he started out in Newfoundland and got as far as Ontario. And then cancer took his life. But he had a goal. He had a goal. Never lost sight of it. And it took a determined effort to keep moving forward. Pain he had continually. Never stopped. Hebrews chapter 12. Yeah, he didn't finish that race, but someday he'll be able to finish it. Chapter 11, we have so many examples of people who endured and persevered, and we're not going to go through those. Don't need to do that today. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every concern, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let's not get caught up in it. Let's not let it choke out the truth and the glory that lies ahead. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You can't get much clearer language than that, can you? You certainly can't. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's an example, the ultimate example of endurance. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, in your hearts, in your lives, in your minds. I'm down. I can't take it. Why bother? Why pray? Why study? This reminds me of a man many years ago who said, I know God blesses because he said he would. And if we tithe, he said he'll bless us even more. But he said, I'm holding up my basket asking God to fill it, but he hasn't filled it yet. What's the problem? The problem was him. The problem was him. He had the wrong idea. Didn't understand. Where was the persistence and where was his effort? Where was his faith? Where was his conviction? He didn't last. He's gone. Long gone. Verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. No, we've struggled with a lot of things, haven't we, brethren? Lots of things. But nothing even compares to what Christ went through. Our Savior endured. He knew the goal, and he gave every effort. Hebrews 11 here in verse 27. That's over the page. Hebrews 11. By faith, he forsook Egypt, this is Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses looked to God. So do we. We keep that goal clearly in focus. You have that goal. You have that focus. Christ is firmly set in your mind and God the Father with a plan and purpose that lies ahead. We understand that. It's clear. You can't make it on your own. My faith won't get me out the door, and neither can you. But you can endure unto the end because you have a Savior that is for you. He's pulling for you. He's with you. He's cheering us on to the finish line, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 3 here is talking about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Talk about putting on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and so forth. Shield of faith, helmet of salvation. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all persistence and supplication for the saints. The Bible's filled with examples, if not the specific word to endure and to persevere and to keep moving, never fall back. We never fall back. It's like General Patton. We never stop. We never give up and take ground. We're always moving forward, taking more ground. We never give up. We just keep on charging forward. Point number three. You must be totally committed. You must be totally committed. Who was more committed than Mr. Armstrong? Well, nobody I can think of. And you know, brethren, we made a commitment at baptism, didn't we? We made a commitment at baptism that we would stay the course. That is why we do not rush into baptizing someone. We have to make sure they're ready. Have to make sure. Do they understand the seriousness of their decision? Are they going to be committed over the long haul? Or will it be a short engagement and they give up after a month or a year, whatever it might be? Difficult times will come. They have to understand that. You can't know for sure. You really cannot ever really know for sure. But you can get a sense and you can discern about the people and what drives them over a period of time. And that's what we've had to do over the years when it comes to baptism. With God's help, we can figure it out and help them along. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And verse 16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The wicked are going to fall. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep plugging ahead. I'll just read a couple of short little bits from that poem. It kind of fits in here. Talking about the young fellow who raced and who had some trouble when he fell. He wished then that he had quit after falling once. Wished he had quit before with only one disgrace. I'm hopeless as a runner now. I should not try to race. But in the laughing crowd he searched and found his father's face, that steady look that said to him, get up and win the race. So he jumped up again to try once more, 10 yards behind the last. If I'm going to gain those yards, I've got to run real fast. Exerting everything he had, regaining 8, then 10, but trying hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. You know, poor little guy. I've seen that happen with our kids in races when they're going crazy out there, almost going to go over the finish line soon. My oldest daughter did that once and she fell down. She would have won. I think it was a relay. It's heartbreaking, but she got up. Romans chapter 14. We're not going to win them all. But the ultimate race in life, we're going to win. We're promised that we're going to win. We have the greatest power in the universe holding our hand, holding us up, telling us to get up and finish the race. Romans 14 and verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. The point is, brethren, God will catch us when we fall. He'll catch us and help us up. Okay, buddy, let's go. Let's get on and win the race. Point number four, understand the purpose for trials. Understand the purpose for trials, because some people give up when trials come along. I didn't know it was going to be that tough to be a Christian. Look what's happened. You know, my kids don't like me. My wife left me, lost my job. What am I going to do now? Lots of calamities overtake Christians. Many happen early in the process. It happened that way with us very early. But God had to teach me some lessons, so I understand that. And it was a struggle to kind of climb back up out of the ditch. But we never stopped hoping. We never stopped believing. We even tithed on our unemployment check. Didn't have to. We didn't ask. We just did it. The ends always met. And we marvel at that to this day, how God kept us going. If we can't see the goal, you know, and if we don't put out the effort, and if we're not really committed, how will it be possible to survive the days that are coming? The days Mr. Henderson went through, we know what's coming. Horrendous things have occurred. More horrendous things will occur. And we're the meek and the weak of the world, but strong and powerful in faith and trust in the living God. And that sets us apart from everybody else. Not because we're perfect. You know, I don't even have to say that. You know what I mean. Because of our faith, because we trust God. We believe what he said. We know we can reach out to Jesus Christ and take his hand and move forward. And he'll lift us up. And we'll go on to win the race. We all will. James chapter 1. I want to be there at the finish line with all of you. You ever think about that? I want to be there with you. I want to see your smiling faces. I need you to encourage me to go for it. James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Oh, how I love trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I have to laugh sometimes when I read this, just jokingly, you know. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we've all been around long enough to understand the purpose for trials, haven't we? To understand the reason for adversity. It comes. There's not a good day for a trial to come. God says, John, I'm going to send you a trial tomorrow. Is that okay? Yeah, let it come. Or can we wait till next year? Doesn't work like that. He knows what we need and when we need it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Let me read this for you. For I consider that the suffering of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We looked into that during the feast, the glory that lies ahead for the saints that will return with Jesus Christ. It's hard to imagine sometime. You'll have a glorified body. You'll be shining as the sun, right there with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's priceless information, priceless knowledge, priceless understanding through the power of God's Spirit. How do you explain that to someone who doesn't have the Spirit of God? You can't. It's like talking to the brick wall. We learn and we grow and we produce and we build character. The very character of Jesus Christ. Because we're going to need that in the family of God. God wants us to prepare that way now. Have that character. Build that faith, that confidence, that courage, that spiritual endurance. Then God will add to that and move us forward. Take our part in the family of God. Point number five, brethren. Point number five, hold fast to the truth. That could be even looked at as probably one of the most important points to remember. I didn't put it as number one for no particular reason. Hold fast to the truth. How often did we hear at the feast how important it is to hang on to the truth that we were given, the faith once delivered? Standing on that firm foundation God gave to Mr. Armstrong. Someone can get tired of hearing me say that. I don't care. That's what carries me forward. That's what will keep us from slipping and being swayed and wooed away by those smooth talkers who've got ideas. Did you ever think of this? No, I didn't. You know, it, like Mr. Henderson said, does it square with the Word of God? Does it square with the foundation? Does it square with Mr. Armstrong? Yes? Okay, we'll think of it. No? Out of here. Away, get behind me, Satan, is what I would say. Oh, no, it's so important. You know, that's the spirit of a Philadelphian. Hold fast to the truth once given. And we talked about it at the feast. You know, hold on to what we're given. Never veer off on some new and ultimately crazy idea. It's crazy, somebody might have. And there's lots of them going around. And there's going to be more deception, more confusion. And if you're on shaky ground, just stepped off the foundation for the last year, you're going to be in bigger trouble. I'm going to stay right in the middle, under that solid concrete foundation. And that way we can't fall off. Revelation chapter 3, and verse 10. Familiar scripture. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell thereon, who dwell on the earth. We're told, we're commanded to persevere. That's what he says. My command to persevere. It's not a suggestion. I think maybe, folks, you might want to persevere here. No. He says, you better persevere, or you won't make it, or you're going to stumble, and you're going to fall. He tells us in verse 8, I know your works, and I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it. For you have little strength. Oh, isn't that true? How much strength do we have individually? No, nothing. I have none. I'll admit that openly to anybody. But with God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, I can take and get a hold of power, and I can move forward. I know I'm going to make it. I'm going to be there. I'll be there with you. We only have a little strength, but with God we have much strength. With God the Father and Jesus Christ, we have power. We have access to power. And God will protect us, and he'll be there persevering right along with us. I sometimes think of God the Father and Jesus Christ standing by looking at us and saying, come on, guys, let's go. Keep running. Don't stop. Don't get distracted. Forget about these goofballs out there trying to choke you. Satan is the one who has engineered this society, not God the Father. He's the one who is the master at deception and confusion. 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's see. 1 Peter chapter 4. If I was in 4, it would help. Verse 19. Therefore, let us who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as a faithful Creator. You know, when we go through trials, we need to keep the big picture in mind. The big picture has to be in mind. We can't concentrate on the small area of what's troubling us today. We must continue to do good. We must endure and persevere to the end, regardless. And here's something else. And people have forgotten this fact. There is no new truth. I can recall years ago certain people in church, oh, new truth. This is amazing. I've got new truth I discovered. It's fantastic. Look at this. Listen, there can be new understanding. Okay? You know, we might have from time to time on any topic. I got a renewed understanding. I read the verse, now I really understand it. That's not new truth. That's me understanding what God was saying. But, you know, it's new understanding of revealed truth once given. Not new truth on its own is something just discovered. And that's where people forget. Not new truth. The truth was given. That's the truth we hang on to. Not start looking for some other way to do things. Some people today are still falling for so-called new knowledge. You know, they don't really understand. You know, they'll say, well, you know what it really comes down to? They want to eliminate Mr. Armstrong from their spiritual diet, if I can put it that way. Saying we don't need him anymore. As some have said, well, we need more than Mr. Armstrong. We have friends that said that not too long ago. Okay? We never really knew him. Some of the younger people might say, he's old, out of date. Really? Too many organizations have forgot about our spiritual heritage, what was given to us. And shame on them. That's a form of deception. That's deceiving people, leading them away from the foundation, letting them get caught up in all sorts of problems and difficulties and trials. Then they'll get the truth choked out of what's left in them if they do that. Satan will be sure that happens. Point number six, we can come back from defeat and failure. We can come back from defeat and failure if that's ever happened to you. Oh, yes, we can. We're not down and out. Maybe we're down, but we can get back up again and move forward. Hebrews chapter 7. If we fail, we can come back from it, right? We surely can. When all looks hopeless, you turn to your Savior because Christ knows your life. He knows you. He knows me. He's in here and he's with you all the way. I am for you, he says. That's encouraging stuff, brethren. The great Creator, he's for you and he's with you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, talking about Christ. Therefore, he is able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's for you and me. I'm just going to read you one more thing from that poem that kind of fits in here. It says, they cheered the winning runner as he crossed the first place, head high, proud and happy, no failing, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line, last place, the crowd gave him the biggest cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last with head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he'd won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad, he sadly said, I did not do so well. His father said to him, you won. You won because you rose up each time you fell. So it's a wonderful stuff, brethren. It's encouraging. And that's where God the Father and Jesus Christ are. They're picking us up when we fall. Sending us on and saying, get going. Race isn't over yet. Your life's not over yet. Let's move forward. I'm with you. That kind of faith, that kind of conviction, that kind of attitude, we have to have that. He's there to intercede for you with understanding, with patience, with compassion, and with love. You know, look what Joseph went through, you know, from slavery to prison. You know, one short foul swoop. From commander of Egypt. You know, he went from prison to top leadership in one day. God engineered it. All that's behind you now, buddy. Let's go. Boom. You're in charge. The whole country's yours. Wow. Genesis chapter 32. Something that we're familiar with here. I want to look at it from a slightly different perspective. Genesis chapter 32. Verse 24, Then he took them, sent them over. Oh, that's not it. Verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with me, with God, and with men, and you have prevailed." You have hung in there. You didn't let go. I had to knock your hip joint out of the socket to get you to stop and slow down. Have you ever wrestled with God? You might say, "No, we never got into the ring together." Well, I'm willing to say you have. How? In prayer. In prayer. You know, we can do that, brethren. Whether it's wrestling over a problem that's troubling you personally, something very deep you're struggling with, you can wrestle with God over that. A concern you might have, difficulties with people, trouble at work. You can wrestle with God in your prayers and say, "I need the help, Father, and I need extra strength, and I can't do this." And you plead, and you don't bargain with Him, but you plead, and you have a repentant approach, and you're kind of in your mind wrestling with the issue and looking for God's solution to come to you. Believing and wrestling with thoughts. We do it all the time. God is with us. He is with you, and He is for you all the way. Point number 7, trust in the power of Christ. Trust in the power of Christ. That is plain and simple. Trusting in the power of Christ to deliver you, to help you during the long, dark, and cold winter to come. Through what we're going to have to face and deal with. Through all the trials that will soon engulf our nations. And there will be some very heavy-duty things that are soon going to engulf our families and our countries. Keep the focus of the kingdom of God clearly etched in our minds. To have patience and effort and be totally committed. For understanding the purpose of trials. We can deal with them with God's help. To hold fast to the truth. And to come back from defeat when it occurs to you. It happens to us all on occasion. Trusting that Christ will see us through. And He will. You know, Mr. Henderson gave us a glimpse of the news. You know, the news past and present and future. Makes it very abundantly clear, doesn't it? The days ahead are not going to be easy. We need focus. We need direction. We need purpose for what we do and what we think. God has sharpened our spiritual focus here at the feast. Mr. Armstrong, with his direction and his focus and his commitment, you know, the purpose is there. We understand, and that direction is there from him, from Christ through Mr. Armstrong. Persevere regardless of what comes our way. Doesn't matter what it is. It's easy for me to say that, isn't it, when you're going through a trial? Well, I've been through a few of my own. I understand what it's like. It's not easy. We can make it. We got to persevere. God will be there to help us, regardless of what happens. God is for us. He's with us all the way on our Christian journey as we go forward into the kingdom of God.